Time now for your lunchtime doctor, the favorite doctor, Dr. Brittany Dean is on.
Yes, we can get any question here on the lunchtime doctor. Any of your medical questions, I will answer them. So feel free to call in, share them, and let us know what you think.
Yes, Doc. So first we ask, what is the irritable bowel syndrome and how does it affect the digestive system?
So it is a common disorder that we do see on a daily basis. You know, a lot of people do suffer with irritable bowel syndrome and they probably don't even know this. And what we usually see in these patients is they get a lot of chronic abdominal pain, discomfort, alternations in their bowel movements. So some patients may experience diarrhea or constipation or even a mix of both without any sort of structural abnormalities within their body. So what tends to happen is that, yes, we perform a lot of tests on these patients, but we can't exactly find what the reason is for all their symptoms that they're experiencing. The exact cause of this irritable bowel syndrome, unlike the inflammatory bowel disease that we have discussed over the past 2 days, the exact cause is unknown, but it's believed to be a combination of many different factors. And it could include the way our gut actually interacts with our brain. You know, we always like to say the gut is our second brain, and that is true because of all the neurons and hormones and all these different things that sort of allow the gut and the brain to communicate. And some people may even have a lot of hypersensitivity in their digestive tract, and that will cause a lot of changes in the way that food moves through their entire system as well. As well as all the microbiome and the bacteria may be different for some people, especially those who are experiencing irritable bowel syndrome. Now, irritable bowel syndrome by itself, it does not damage the digestive system, but what we've seen is that it can definitely affect somebody's quality of life, meaning their everyday life is going to be put on hold because of the symptoms they are facing with irritable bowel syndrome. But it is not necessarily a diagnosis that leads to any sort of main complications that can be very fatal. So a lot of people may be experiencing irritable bowel syndrome and they may not even know it.
All right. So what are some of the most common symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome? Then how can they vary from person to person?
So the most common symptoms that we actually do see would be somebody complaining of abdominal pain or cramping that is actually often relieved by passing a bowel movement. And some people may even have bloating or passing gas. And some people may experience bouts of diarrhea or constipation, and even in some individuals, they may have a mix of both. Some people primarily experience diarrhea, and some will primarily experience constipation, but some also alternate between having diarrhea and constipation. And sometimes in certain individuals, this too may be a little different, or they may start to find like mucus in their stool, etc. But the most common symptom that we definitely do see is that abdominal pain and cramping that is often relieved by passing a bowel movement. And this is why I'm saying a lot of people may have it and they may not even know, because they may just think it's the food that they eat. But there are certain criteria that must be met for us to diagnose somebody with irritable bowel syndrome. So it's not just passing stool or having diarrhea once or having constipation once. It is usually something that we see chronically happening or happening every week in a particular individual.
All right. And how is IBS diagnosed, especially given its similarity to other gastrointestinal conditions?
Now, the symptoms of IBS, it can vary in intensity and it will fluctuate over time. So not everybody will experience the exact same symptoms. Some people may have it more severe than others, but there are often certain triggers that we see in particular people. So stress, diet, hormonal changes, that often influences the severity of some of these symptoms. So Some people may even have milder symptoms, and others may experience a lot more severe episodes that will impact their daily activities. Now, when we are diagnosing IBS, we call the diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome one of exclusion, meaning that in order to diagnose a person with irritable bowel syndrome, we actually have to exclude or rule out a lot of other diagnoses first. So we usually use a particular criteria, like I said before, which require people to meet certain factors. So if somebody has recurrent abdominal pain at least one day per week in the last 3 months, so for the past 3 months, if you've been having recurrent abdominal pain at least one day for the week, that is associated with two or more of the following symptoms, meaning if they're passing stool and it is painful, that is one of the symptoms that we look out for. If there's a change in the amount of times that you need to pass stool, as well as if there's a change in the appearance of your stool, all these things we look at in order to make a diagnosis of IBS. But in order to do so, we have to rule out many other different things. So we'll rule out things like inflammatory bowel disease. We'll rule out things like parasites, bacteria, any sort of infections before actually making that diagnosis of IBS. There's no specific test that we can do to confirm irritable bowel syndrome, but we often order certain tests like blood tests, stool tests, and even colonoscopy in some patients to rule out other conditions like celiac disease, the inflammatory bowel disease, and of course we must rule out colorectal cancer before making this diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome. Because remember, this really is a diagnosis that says that somebody does have something that is wrong with their digestive system, but there's nothing that we can see that is wrong, but the person is experiencing the symptoms either way. So that is why it's important for us to rule out things that are more severe so that we don't get managements mixed up or we don't treat the patient improperly.
And what are some of the leading causes or triggers to IBS?
So the exact cause of irritable bowel syndrome is definitely something that remains unclear. We actually do not know what the exact cause is. Of course, research is still being done in terms of the gut-brain axis, or how our brain and our digestive system sort of communicate with each other to sort of narrow down what is actually going on in persons who are experiencing irritable bowel syndrome. But there are several factors that are believed to play a role. So that same thing that I was saying, the gut-brain axis. Scientists usually think that there's sort of a dysfunction between the way our gut and our brain communicates, and that impairment leads to a lot of abnormality in the way that food passes through our gastrointestinal system, as well as how sensitive the gastrointestinal system in these persons are to pain. So studying that gut-brain axis and studying the dysfunction of it in certain persons can lead us to know what the cause of IBS can be. And we also look at things like the gut microbiota, meaning that the bacteria that lives inside the gut and how those imbalances affect the way that food is digested in people with IBS, as well as how they tolerate certain types of food, because those changes in the flora, as we call it, or the bacteria of the gut in persons with IBS can definitely or has definitely been known to trigger certain symptoms. And then we also have to look at food sensitivities for certain people. So there are certain foods, and most namely, you know, things like dairy, gluten, other different types of foods, of course, fatty foods, oily foods, all those things have been known to trigger certain symptoms in people who have been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome as well. And then we also look at stress and psychological factors. So anxiety, depression, chronic stress, all these things are known to exacerbate symptoms of IBS. Does stress cause IBS? You know, we absolutely do not know what that real relationship is. But what we do know is that if somebody does have IBS, the stress and, of course, any other mental health conditions can definitely exacerbate the symptoms. And especially in women, the hormonal fluctuations can influence the symptoms of IBS as well. So those hormonal fluctuations definitely play a role in triggering certain symptoms in women who have been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome.
All right, I know you were talking about triggers. What about pepper? Pepper is something that could trigger?
Yeah, so each person can have their own individualized trigger for symptoms of IBS. You know, I've seen several different patients who have several triggers. You know, somebody who drinks milk, that is a trigger for them. Or I've even seen people who eat spicy foods. Yes, that triggers their IBS symptoms, meaning that they may get frequent bouts of diarrhea or frequent bouts of abdominal pain and cramping. So definitely, each person can have their own individualized trigger, meaning that, yes, pepper can be a trigger for this person with IBS, but it does not necessarily have to be a trigger for another person with IBS.
All right, so as we continue, remember, folks, you can message us with any of your other medical questions. We're here in Sangid 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and, of course, Freedom 106.5. So can IBS be cured, or is it something that requires long-term management?
Unfortunately, because we do not know the exact cause of IBS, there's no actual cure for irritable bowel syndrome. It is a chronic condition that will require long-term or even lifelong management in most patients. However, with, you know, the right lifestyle adjustments, certain dietary changes, and sometimes medication to manage abdominal cramping, the symptoms can definitely be effectively controlled. And that will allow most individuals with irritable bowel syndrome to live a normal daily life. You know, the management strategies for these patients need to be individualized and personalized. And of course, depending on the trigger or how a person's lifestyle is set up, there are certain things that will help particular people. So stress reduction, dietary adjustments, probiotics, if we've noticed that they've got flora or the bacteria in their gut is not working properly. Even fiber supplements if somebody is suffering from constipation. And there are certain medications that persons with IBS can be placed on, like laxatives if they're suffering with constipation, etc. But of course, these things need to be tailored by a medical doctor. And it is important that if you think that you are suffering from IBS because you are getting frequent bouts of abdominal pain and cramping and diarrhea, and there's no real cause, meaning that, you know, you haven't had a flu or any sort of infection, etc., it is important to still go and get yourself checked out. It is important to know what is going on in your body. And if you are diagnosed with IBS, yes, it is usually a lifelong diagnosis, but that does not mean you cannot live a normal daily life with the proper management and, of course, tailoring things to a specific regime that is individualized to you.
All right, and how can lifestyle changes help manage IBS symptoms effectively?
Lifestyle changes are often what we call the cornerstone of managing irritable bowel syndrome symptoms. And there are key strategies that need to be included in a person's lifestyle to ensure that they don't have any flare-up of their symptoms. And these things would include dietary changes, identifying, and of course avoiding those triggers or the trigger foods will be crucial. You also want a diet that, you know, allows you to eliminate foods that ferment in the gut and cause a lot of gas and bloating. That has been very successful in a lot of IBS patients. And regular exercise, you know, people tend to stay away from the exercise when they are experiencing certain symptoms. But physical activity has been proven to help improve gut motility, or basically the way that food moves through the gut, and of course reduce stress, and it will help manage your constipation symptoms as well. Stress management is definitely something that is key, so techniques such as mindfulness, yoga, deep breathing exercises, and some patients even go to behavioral therapy to help reduce their stress and, of course, to reduce or alleviate the stress on the gut itself. And sleep, prioritizing good sleep hygiene, helps to regulate the gut and reduces any symptoms of flare-ups. So those are the main things that we definitely tell patients they need to focus on a daily basis to ensure that the symptoms don't become severe, especially if they have been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome. So the same things that we definitely do see in treating other medical conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure is the same thing that we can implement for IBS as well. You know, dietary changes, regular physical exercise, proper sleep hygiene, and of course stress management. Those are the cornerstones in managing irritable bowel syndrome.
All right, and as you mentioned, lifestyle changes, what role does diet play in controlling IBS symptoms? And are there any specific foods people should avoid? You mentioned some of them already, or include?
Diet definitely plays a significant role in managing irritable bowel syndrome. And this will involve certain strategies like avoiding certain carbohydrates that are poorly absorbed by the small intestine and that tend to ferment in the colon itself, leading to things like bloating and gas and discomfort. And foods like certain fruits, like apples, pears, certain vegetables, onions, garlics, wheat, dairy products, all those things contain lactose. So we try to tell patients to avoid eating these foods because they have been shown to cause a lot of bloating, a lot of gas in persons with irritable bowel syndrome. And we've actually seen quite a bit of success in patients who stop eating or avoid eating large amounts of these foods and who have reported that they have not had a lot of flare-ups in terms of their symptoms as well. And fiber intake is something that also becomes important. So foods like oats, fruits that can help manage constipation and diarrhea. We definitely tell patients to try to eat those foods on a daily basis so that the constipation is not very severe, or that it can be alleviated at least on a daily basis. And having small frequent meals, eating smaller meals, can definitely help reduce bloating and any sort of discomfort a patient may be experiencing that day. And even probiotics, those things can help manage gut microbiome or the bacteria in the gut and, of course, improve symptoms in some people. And you can get probiotics in certain drinks as well as in certain yogurts. Or usually most yogurts do contain a proper amount of probiotics, and they even have pill forms for probiotics as well. So those are the main things in terms of food, because it does play a staple part in managing IBS symptoms in these patients.
All right, but I know you mentioned, you keep mentioning stress in all of these conditions we're talking about, and it's amazing that stress is a key factor in everything.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So stress definitely, stress cannot cause a lot of different diseases, but it can exacerbate the symptoms of these diseases. Now, when we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, there can be a sort of, there can be something in which, you know, it can be caused by stress if the stress is very much, you know, on a daily basis, and if somebody has a very stressful work or very stressful lifestyle, yes, we do see patients developing IBS out of that. But we can't say that it is an exact cause, because there can be other things like environmental factors or maybe family history or maybe other psychological factors can play a role as well. But stress is definitely something in every single disease that can exacerbate all the symptoms. So in every disease that somebody may have, stress has been shown to exacerbate the symptoms, meaning it will make it more severe and it will make it worse.
All right. So what are some of the most common treatment options for people diagnosed with IBS?
So the treatment options, I would say that IBS is something that we say is a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that we have already ruled out everything that is more sinister, be it colorectal cancer, inflammatory bowel disease. Now, in terms of the treatment options for a diagnosis of exclusion such as this, that will be more based on a person's lifestyle. So it's a combination of dietary changes, lifestyle modifications, and in some cases, even medications. So remember I said a diet that is low in certain foods that tend to ferment in the stomach, you know, a lot of wheats, legumes, a lot of dairy, all these different things, and increasing the fiber intake and also eliminating any trigger foods, that is going to be key in managing somebody's symptoms. Now, in terms of medications, depending on the type of irritable bowel syndrome somebody has, and when I say the type, you know, is it diarrhea predominant, constipation predominant, or is it mixed, the medications will include certain things like antispasmodics to relieve abdominal pain or cramping, or even laxatives if somebody is suffering from constipation, and there are even anti-diarrheal drugs if somebody has a diarrhea predominant IBS. And probiotics and antibiotics in cases where the gut bacteria imbalance is suspected is definitely something that will be prescribed to those patients. And there are even medications that are looked into for persons who do have a sort of psychological trigger or other mental health conditions. So antidepressants can help manage pain and mood-related symptoms, and psychological therapies are also something that becomes key or central in persons who are suffering from irritable bowel syndrome, but also are suffering from other mental health disorders. So cognitive behavioral therapy, and there's even something called gut-directed hypnotherapy that have been shown to have benefits in managing IBS symptoms. So there are many different options to manage the symptoms. But because we don't know an exact cause of IBS, we cannot cure IBS itself yet. So, like I said, it is based on a person's lifestyle. If they're willing to do the dietary changes, if they're willing to change their lifestyle, as well as cooperate with their doctor in terms of certain medications, then they can live very normal, successful lives with being diagnosed with IBS.
Okay, once again, we're talking about IBS, folks. And, of course, feel free to send any of your medical questions. We're here live on Sangit 106.1 FM, Freedom 106.5, and Sky 99.5. You're listening to Dr. Brittany Dean, the lunchtime doctor. All right, so why is IBS more common in women than men, and what factors contribute to this?
So IBS is actually twice as common in women than in men. And this disparity that we usually see is likely due to a combination of, you know, we always talk about the hormonal factors, and then there are psychological factors as well as physiological factors. So the way our body is made up, all these things come into play in terms of looking at that disparity between women and men. And these hormonal differences that we do see, you know, the fluctuations in estrogen and progesterone levels, particularly during menstruation and pregnancy and menopause, all those things can affect a woman's gut motility and her sensitivity in the gut, leading to more frequent IBS symptoms in women. So because we have all these different hormones coupled with the gut-brain axis and all the neuronal hormones and all the triggers that come from that as well, all these triggers can lead a woman to being hypersensitive to certain foods. And because she's hypersensitive to certain foods, you know, maybe something like pepper will cause her to have a flare of her IBS symptoms more frequently than a man. And then we also look at the psychological factors. Women are definitely more likely to experience certain mental health conditions like anxiety and depression. And both of those have been shown to be linked to irritable bowel syndrome. The connection between stress, mood disorders, and irritable bowel syndrome is something that has been well researched and well documented. So we definitely see, because women do suffer with anxiety and depression more, their symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome will be more shown, or it will be triggered more than that of a man. And then we have something called hypersensitivity, or visceral hypersensitivity. Women do have a lower pain threshold, and of course that will heighten their sensitivity in their gut as well. And of course it makes us more prone to experiencing these IBS symptoms, because we are just more sensitive to certain foods and certain triggers. So those IBS symptoms will be more prominent in us as opposed to a man.
All right. And are there any differences in how IBS symptoms present, again, between men and women?
So I would say that the core symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, abdominal pain and bloating, and of course the altered bowel habits, they are both similar in men and women. Women tend to report more on their symptoms of IBS. You know, men tend to not go to the doctor as often, but women will report if they're having bloating and constipation. But men are actually more likely to experience diarrhea as opposed to a woman. Women are also more likely to report the fluctuations in their symptoms that are related to their menstrual cycle. And of course, they are more likely to experience greater psychological impact from the condition. And the hormonal changes, especially the fluctuations in estrogen and progesterone, those tend to have significant impact on irritable bowel syndrome symptoms. Women usually report that their symptoms will worsen during periods of menstruation, and some experience changes during pregnancy and menopause as well. Sometimes women tend to develop IBS after menopause as well, and we definitely do see that, because we do have that fluctuation of the estrogen and progesterone in women from perimenopause to menopause. So we definitely do see a lot of women are reporting IBS symptoms after menopause. And these hormones definitely affect a woman's gut motility, and that will lead to either the constipation or the diarrhea. But women tend to have a lot more constipation as opposed to men, who will have diarrhea. And yes, right after menopause, women do experience the IBS symptoms. But after a while, because their hormones tend to stabilize, we tend to have the IBS symptoms improving in women when the progesterone and the estrogen actually stabilize, you know, a few years after menopause has settled in.
And what impact does IBS have on a person's overall quality of life, and how can they manage it day to day?
So in terms of irritable bowel syndrome and somebody's quality of life, I would say that IBS is definitely one of those conditions that will have a profound impact on their quality of life day to day. So people with IBS, they will experience chronic pain. They will experience unpredictable bowel habits. And the need to avoid certain foods or even certain activities can lead to a lot of social withdrawal and anxiety and even depression. So yes, women who are diagnosed with anxiety and depression, these things can get worse when they are experiencing IBS, and of course vice versa. If you have IBS, you can develop anxiety and depression because of the condition itself. But managing irritable bowel syndrome on a day-to-day basis will require that multifaceted approach. And I always try to not stress on the medication aspect of IBS, as opposed to when we're speaking about inflammatory bowel disease the other day, we said that medication becomes core and central to the management of that. Now in IBS, because we do not have any sort of structural abnormality, we actually cannot see any sort of abnormality in the person suffering with these symptoms. You know, we have to look at it a different way. We have to talk about the dietary and the lifestyle and all these different things that can make the symptoms worse. So the multifaceted approach will, of course, involve the person making core lifestyle changes, making a proper dietary approach and dietary management. Of course, keeping a food diary to identify and avoid certain triggers. That is something that persons with IBS have seen results from, because it helps them to avoid any triggers in the future or carrying around this little diary of certain foods that they have identified as their trigger will help them to narrow down what they should be consuming on a day-to-day basis. And of course, regular exercise. You know, we always stress about how exercise is good for our heart health, how exercise is good for muscle strength and muscle training. But physical activity actually has been proven to improve somebody's gut health and, of course, reduce overall stress on the person as well. And when physical activity is actually coupled with stress reduction techniques, you know, even going to therapy, yoga, mindfulness. And I keep repeating the same sort of stress reduction techniques because these stress reduction techniques have actually been proven to work in persons who are suffering with medical conditions. So yoga and mindfulness and even deep breathing exercises, all these things that can be incorporated into somebody's everyday life. And incorporating these stress management techniques will definitely have a profound impact on the symptoms and on the person who is suffering from irritable bowel syndrome. But if somebody is unable to see an improvement in their symptoms while using, you know, all these lifestyle changes and all these strategies, medications are always something that can be prescribed. But like I said before, you need to be able to go to your physician. You need to be able to allow them to assess you accurately. And sometimes it may take a while because there are several different conditions that can overlap in terms of these symptoms. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to go through each one just to ensure that we are not missing anything in particular that can have a serious and severe complication. So the diagnosis of IBS sometimes will take a little while because we are ruling out other disorders as well. So if you are diagnosed with IBS and you are placed on medication, taking your prescribed medications consistently can definitely help to manage your symptoms. So proper medication adherence is something that is core as well to managing IBS and to improving the quality of life in somebody who is suffering from irritable bowel syndrome.
All right, so surgery is never necessary with IBS?
No. So surgery, because there's no identifiable structural abnormality in IBS, as we see in something like inflammatory bowel disease, surgery is never really an option for a person suffering with IBS. We cannot pinpoint exactly what the cause of IBS is. Sometimes it's really just a psychological factor that comes into play. So surgery is never the option for somebody who has been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome unless there's something else more sinister that we find later on. But more than likely, the person with IBS, it's more of a psychological trigger, and it's more of the way that their gut and their brain communicates. So it's never really a structural abnormality. So surgery does not really have a role to play in the management of IBS.
All right. So what impact does IBS have on a person's overall quality of life, and how can it be managed day to day?
So it does have that profound impact, like we discussed. And I mentioned that, yes, medications are not really the first line therapy, but it really is up to the person with irritable bowel syndrome to be able to manage their own triggers. And like we mentioned, having that food diary, knowing what foods trigger your IBS or what activities even trigger your IBS, and avoiding those things will help you to lead a better day-to-day life, and it will improve the quality of your life because you don't have to worry about, having those unpredictable bowel habits or that chronic pain because you have avoided certain triggers and certain foods. And, of course, just leading a healthy lifestyle, eating the proper foods, eating the proper healthy meals, taking your omega-3 fatty acids, any sort of antioxidants, and, of course, regularly exercising and trying to do a lot of stress reduction techniques. All these things have been proven to improve a patient's quality of life when they've been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome.
All right. What are the new emergent treatments for IBS that shows promise?
So there are several emerging treatments for irritable bowel syndrome. And like I said, research is ongoing into this specific topic because it is a diagnosis of exclusion and we haven't found the exact cause yet. Research will always be ongoing, but of course, there will always be new therapies coming out to improve a patient's quality of life. And some of these things will include microbiome therapies, meaning that there are specific bacteria strains that are being studied for their potential to alter a person's gut bacteria and to reduce the symptoms in persons with IBS. And there are even medications that are being researched to target the way the gut and the brain communicates, or the so-called gut-brain axis. There are new drugs being developed to help better regulate that communication between our brain and our gut. And of course, there are even non-drug therapies, gut-directed hypnotherapy that I mentioned before, and even cognitive behavioral therapy, which is, going to your therapist and having a chat and learning how to better communicate with your body. That is gaining a lot of popularity for its ability to reduce irritable bowel syndrome symptoms. And, of course, addressing the psychological component of the condition if the person also is diagnosed with other mental health conditions, like mental, such as depression and anxiety as well.
All right, 7 minutes away from the hour. And of course, we're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Lunchtime Doctor, final Lunchtime Doctor for the week, and how time has flown. Early on, you mentioned that it's more common, IBS is more common in women, you know, than in men. But what are some of the symptoms that differ between men and women?
So I would say that, yes, it is more common in women. The real differences will come in terms of the severity of the symptoms. So women, because we have a lower pain threshold and because we can be more hypersensitive to certain foods because of our gut bacteria coupled with our hormones, progesterone, estrogen, all these different things, because they fluctuate throughout our life, what tends to happen is that the way that we may experience irritable bowel syndrome will be a little more severe than that of a man. So, yes, women are 2 times more likely to be diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, but, you know, the research also states that it could possibly be because we experience the symptoms a little more severely than a man. So the same abdominal pain and cramping, and it may tend to get more severe in times of hormonal fluctuations like menstruation, pregnancy, and even going through menopause, it may get a little more severe. But of course, like I mentioned, after menopause, when our hormones start to stabilize, we see a drop in the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome. But really and truly, the main differences is that women will experience the symptoms a little more severely because of hormonal fluctuations and, of course, because of psychological stresses, since women are more likely to be diagnosed with anxiety and depression as opposed to men.
All right, so finally, what advice would you give to someone who suspects they have IBS but hasn't been diagnosed yet?
So if you suspect that you have irritable bowel syndrome, the first step is to consult your doctor. And in doing so, you also have to have a little patience because we have to rule out other conditions in order to provide you with a proper diagnosis and in order for us to not miss anything that can be very fatal or provide any sort of severe complications. I would say that keeping a symptom diary is also key. That would include what you are eating on a daily basis, what your bowel habits are, what your stress levels are. All these things will help in identifying certain patterns and triggers, especially if you suspect that you are suffering from irritable bowel syndrome. It is essential for you to get a formal diagnosis, like I said, to ensure that other serious conditions like inflammatory bowel disease or celiac disease, it's essential that we rule those out before we give you this particular diagnosis. And once you are properly diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, you need to work with your doctor, and I would say that it is important that you adhere to your medication as well as to your follow-up, just to ensure that everything is going smoothly and we're not missing anything that can become more severe. And you also want to have a plan that is properly personalized to you. And that would include your dietary changes, your stress management, and of course, like I mentioned, the proper medications as well as physical exercise or, you know, having proper regular exercise on a daily basis. And sometimes it can be that you may require multiple disciplines to manage this. And I'm not talking about disciplines in the hospital. I'm talking about maybe seeing a therapist maybe seeing a personal trainer and maybe seeing a dietitian as well. All these different people will help you in properly tailoring a personalized plan so that your quality of life can be improved, and so that you do not have to go about your day worrying about chronic pain or even worrying about any sort of unwanted bowel habits or bowel movements that may occur.
All right, Dr. Brittany Dean, well, thank you very much. That's it for today. And, of course, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend.
Same to you, babe. See you next week.